When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Winner of the 2018 Carolina Music Award for Best Folk Band category, North Carolina band Province of Thieves has been performing their all-acoustic, modern folk music since the band got together in 2012. One of the founding members, Greg Moore, joins me for this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about the Province of Thieves' evolution as a band and their upcoming new record, Whitecaps in the Cornfield. Good afternoon, Greg. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, good afternoon, Greg. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. I feel like we're talking to a mirror here or something, maybe.
Right, absolutely.
And we're not that far apart, actually. In perspective, you're in South Carolina, is that right?
I'm actually in Charlotte, so I'm in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Just barely.
Okay. Yep. Okay, yeah. So as the crow flies, we're actually almost neighbors, being here in Virginia.
That's right. Charlotte is an easy
trek for us, and been to that part of North Carolina quite a bit. Different types of musical events that happen in that region of North Carolina. Merlefest, in particular, is coming up here soon. That's not exactly Charlotte, but Wilkesboro is not too far from there.
No, it's right in between us.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Have you had a chance to attend that?
I have not, actually. It's probably shameful for me to say, but I have not been. I've been to a lot of different festivals for music, but actually not had the pleasure of going to Merle. And it's probably the one festival that, you know, doing what I do, I probably should have attended at least one. I'm going to check that off soon, I think.
Well, you've got 6 weeks. It's coming up. end of April.
Right.
Actually, yeah, you know, your band, I think the music, certainly your original material, fits. I mean, it's, you know, kind of right down the middle Americana with Province of Thieves. And, you know, who knows? You know, being a North Carolina an act, I know they like to bring in hometown acts, so you never know. Maybe there's a place
Absolutely.
There for you.
And we're still just starting to kind of break in on the festival circuit. You know, we're graduating out of playing bars and breweries, and that's not to say we're not still doing that, but you know, it sort of feels like we're moving, sort of starting to cross that sort of threshold of less bars and more festival kinds of appearances. So
sure.
that's definitely on our it's on our radar to be playing a little further and wider in those kinds of events.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, that's a good segue. That's why we're on the phone, to talk about Province of Thieves and what you guys do. And so give me just a little bit of the history. I think if I read correctly, you guys almost 10 years old as a band.
Yeah, actually, we hit 10 years last year we celebrated our 10th.
Okay.
And we got started, my wife is a ballet teacher, ballet and tap teacher, and I probably should back up a little further than that. Brad and I started the band. And we were familiar with each other because we went to the same church, although, you know, we weren't close friends at the time. But that church in 2005 started a contemporary worship service, and they tapped me to be the worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to put together a praise band for it. And it was kind of a small church, so I have to say I was pretty successful at finding a lot of volunteers within the church that had at least a little musical.
Yeah.
And Brad stepped up and became a member of the band. So we played together in that praise team band previously.
Okay.
And then my wife was, as I started to say, was the dance teacher, and she operates her program out of that church. And still does. We don't attend there. We haven't for a while, but she still has her program there. And her program's now 20 years old. It's hard to believe. It makes me feel old that she's been doing that long. and Brad's daughter started in the program. And in 2012, she graduated from high school. And for that particular dance recital there in 2012, Amanda had the idea that Brad should sing a song, like, and so Emily was supposed to do a solo dance, and Brad would sing a song, and Brad said, "Well, I'll do you one better. I'm going to write a song." I was like, "I'm not just going to sing one for her, you know. I'm actually going to write it." And he wrote it, and he tapped me, and he said, "Hey, Greg, will you join me on this?" And so I had just started playing the mandolin. So now, you know, I haven't been a mandolin player for very long. Right.
Yep.
We got together and we played that song. It was called Dance Back to Me. And it was for her senior dance recital solo, and it went great. And, you know, all the tears were shed and everything was beautiful. And, after that dance recital, one of the two of us looked at each other and said, "You know, we should keep doing this. It was fun." We got together, you know, it was like 2012, and that summer just kind of spent a lot of time in my garage, you know, putting sets together, and Promise of Thieves was born as a duo.
Okay.
I don't have much history you want me to go into, but certainly it built from there. And we're this album we just released on January 27th this year is actually our fourth. If you go into Spotify and iTunes and wherever it is you like to get your music, and you type in Province of Thieves, you're going to see three albums, because our first one was, you know, we kind of look upon it as a, Now you'd almost look at that and say, "Well, it's kind of a demo tape." At the time, it is an album. You know, it's all original music. We just certainly graduated in the quality of our recording a bit on the next three albums, and that was all because of budget, right?
Right, sure.
We had no budget on the first album, so you know it was kind of a basement recording. And well done. I wouldn't tell anybody it's bad. I think it was well done. All the subsequent albums, by that time, we were gigging very frequently and building the band up, and had a full, you know, 5-piece band by the time we got to the second album. And had budget to spend on it, because unlike a lot of bands, most cover bands, they'll play and they just dole the money out to their players. Province of Thieves goes about things a little differently. I mean, we earn gig money, and some of it goes in the bank, and it goes into the bank for recording.
Sure,
right? So we don't go to our fans and say, "Hey, Do y'all want to lend money or we don't do fundraisers."
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Essentially, we say, "Look, come to our shows." That's how we raise funds. Right? Come to our shows, put money in our tip jar. That's how we lay. How we fund our albums.
Yeah. Well, so in 2018, you guys won a Carolina Music Award. So at some point in that, between 2012 and there, it dawned on you guys that you were onto something. Was there a moment when it clicked and you realized, "Hey, we're actually doing something here that seems to be working with our fans, and maybe we're onto something here that's pretty cool"?
Right before our second album, the Laverna album, we had been playing a lot of those originals on that album for a while. But we didn't have a full band, and it was just sort of Providence. We picked up a third with Steve Allen, It all kind of comes back to churches. I was playing at this time a different church. You know, it was a few years after Brad and I had kind of started. And at that church, I wasn't the leader. I was the lead guitar player. I was, electric guitar. But there was another fellow that was, the both of us actually were at the audition for the church. Hmm. And I was just chatting. I'd never met Steve. But I had just sat there and watched his audition, and he just played acoustic guitar and sang. And I was waiting on my turn, but we were sitting there watching a couple other people, and I was just chatting with him, and he just happened to mention, it's like, yeah, he says, yeah, my wife bought me a banjo, and I'm tinkering around with that. And my mind clicked. I mean, I already heard this guy sing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I already knew he could play guitar very well. He could sing very well. And when he said, yeah, I've got a banjo, I said, hey, I've got a duo I'm playing in, and I bet you, how would you like to come, try out for Providence at these? And he was into it. And shortly after that, we were a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to click there.
Yeah. Right?
It was because it went from two voices, when you're a duo, harmonizing is pretty easy. Right. Mm-hmm. It's one person singing the melody, and the second guy can sing just about anything. Right. Mm-hmm. He can sing a third, a fifth, seventh, whatever, as long as it's a harmony part, and I'm pretty bad about just making it up on the fly. I'll do that. It's easy to do that when there's just one guy singing the melody if I'm on harmony.
Right. Right.
Right. But you can't do that when you add the third voice. Mm-hmm. you really got to learn your part, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not that the two guys that are in harmony, that are singing harmony aren't stepping on each
right,
other.
And sure.
So we had to learn how to do that, but we did it, pretty well. And that, it's funny, in those early days, we were playing a lot of cover stuff, right? And we thought, sort of our, we call it our plan of attack, was to play some 80s stuff. But play it with mandolins and ukuleles, and really kind of have a different instrumentation that people weren't mm-hmm. used to seeing with mm-hmm. duos and single acts. But what we found out was everybody after shows would come up and say, gosh, you guys' harmonies are great.
Mm.
And it started to dawn. It's like, I mean, the instrumentation is cool, right? It's mm-hmm. not that, even though it's North Carolina, here in the Charlotte area, it was kind of uncommon to see somebody playing a mandolin,
mm-hmm.
right, mm-hmm. at a bar, as opposed to, guitars, obviously, are the most popular instrument. Mm-hmm. You just didn't see mandolins very frequently. But that wasn't what people were hooking. We weren't hooking people with the instrumentation. It was the harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we added Steve, we added a, another voice, and it just sort of, it kind of exploded.
Mm.
It really, not only did we sort of take it to a new level in terms of the presentation, it was also the songwriting. It was like, wow, we started writing songs knowing, I think that first album, Laverna's, got a song at the very beginning called Greatest Wonders. And that song was written by Brad, the fellow that I started the band with. And when he wrote that song, I think he had in mind that he was going to have Steve and me behind him
mm-hmm.
on harmony, right? Mm-hmm. You listen to that song, and it just starts off right from the very first track on the album, and it just hits you right in the face with three-part male harmony,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we started to hang our hat on. And then right before that album, we were already kind of, we already had all the songs. We didn't have a rhythm section. And Parker Foley walked up to us one night, and he happened to know Brad a little bit from, they both worked in banks. Parker retired from the banks a few years ago. Brad's still working, but he came up to me and said, "Hey, my name's Parker. I'm an upright bass player." It's almost like he knew we were looking for him.
Hmm,
because it's one thing to find a bass player, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's probably hard enough to find in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a upright bass player kind of walk up and say, hey, you know, do you guys need an upright bass player?
Right. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we do.
Yeah.
And then Parker, right after that, you know, we started kind of setting the concrete. Hey, we're going into the studio soon. We're going to need a percussionist. And I was very particular, because now I got a banjo player, right? Now I've got an upright bass player, and it's almost like it's coming together providentially.
Right.
You got a mandolin player in the band already. You got all these different folk instruments. We don't want a drummer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing air quotes in the air. You can't see them. We want a quote unquote, a percussionist, right?
Uh-huh.
So sure. It's someone so unlike most, you know, bluegrass and a lot of folk bands don't incorporate, percussion or drums in any way, but, Jenny worked out great, because we came in and said, you know, we're not looking for somebody to slap a snare that's kind of blowing us off the stage. You
right.
can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. This kind of band, you gotta fit into the pocket.
Yeah.
And she understood exactly what we were looking for. And we had a probably 6 weeks of rehearsals, and we went in the studio and started, recording Laverna with the five of us. And that, Laverna, I think I'm trying to think of the timing on that one, but that was the album. We finished it in 2016. And that really was the album that sort of catapulted us to the Carolina Music Award. We were in the studio for Way to the Sky, I think, by 2018, but we weren't done with it. But it was Laverna that we were playing in the bars and everywhere we were going, and so that's really where it felt, you know. And I hate to say it was so long ago, because we've released Way to the Sky since then, and Way to the Sky we released in January of 2019, and it's taken us, I guess, January 2019 to January 2023 is 4 years. But in that 4 years, you know, what we ran into the pandemic, which
sure.
is what everybody ran into. So it took us some time to write the new album, White Caps in the Cornfield. It was a slow cooker, and a lot of it had to do with the pandemic.
Sure.
And
yeah.
We're probably like a lot of bands. We're still trying to sort of get back to, you know, the gigging frequency that we were at.
Yeah. So what do you want to do with the band? You know, you're 10 years in now, and you've got an award or two and brand new album. What do you see as the future? What's the goal with the music? What would you guys like to accomplish now that it feels like you've kind of got your sound the way you want it, and you got a new record? What's the coming year look like?
The goal hasn't changed a lot in the last few years, and that goal is to play in front of the right audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you would probably say, okay, Greg, well, can you expand on that? Well, you know, to graduate out of gigs where we're just booked to be the background,
mm-hmm.
more to gigs that, you know, living room kind of, you know, even small stuff, but folks are there to hear us,
mm-hmm.
right? They sure. come to hear us.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that is what we're trying to drive to. And we still can't say no to the, you know, a lot of those gigs that the booking comes along and says, hey, will you play for, you know, at the brewery for, you know what, if it's good money, and we'll still take that gig.
Sure.
So it's not like you turn one switch off and turn the other one on, right? And I bet you that you would rarely find a band that's ever done that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Lightning does strike a few people, but
well, a lot of acts are having to kind of restart, even kind of like you said.
It's yeah.
wherever you might have, whatever success you might have achieved pre-pandemic, you know, a lot of things kind of had to get started over. So
that's absolutely right. Yeah. It's almost like you had a name then.
Yeah, yeah. Your momentum got stifled.
You know what? If you want a name now, you're gonna have to back up a little bit and get your momentum back where it used to be.
So
we're, you know, just like a lot of bands, we're in that same pocket.
Yeah, sure. So, and you guys are at this point still fairly local, regional in where you get out to.
That's correct. Yeah. Yep.
New album is Whitecaps in the Cornfield, and just really recently out. How can people find that? And do you have a schedule somewhere where people can come catch a live show?
We have Cabarrus Brewing in Concord, and that will be on Good Friday. So if you are in the Charlotte area, Concord is just north of Charlotte, we'll be at Cabarrus Brewing. We are booking the Harrisburg, North Carolina Barba Brew Festival. That's also in April. Not a lot on the calendar yet, so those are your opportunities right now, but we are in talks, so be a lot of stuff to come.
Yeah, and the website is provinceofthieves.com, is that right?
provinceofthieves.com. And you know, we've got as I mentioned earlier, you know, just as far as listening is concerned, if you have iTunes, I'll talk specifically about, you know, we have enough albums now that you can go to iTunes and find us. So we have our own radio station.
Yeah, good.
So you can type in Province of Thieves Radio and get a mix and not hear any repeats. It'll run for quite a while before you hear anything repeated, because there's three albums worth of mostly originals. We have one or two songs that are covers, and I would even talk specifically one cover on Way to the Sky called Wave the Ocean, which is an old Tim O'Brien song, actually. Mm-hmm. From just speaking of keeping it in the Americana wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, old Tim O'Brien from the 80s song. So that one you probably wouldn't know unless I told you it was a cover.
Yeah.
And then on our very first album, the one that you can't find anywhere unless you go to our website, we did a cover of Chicago's Make Me Smile.
Okay. That's awesome.
But yeah, you go to iTunes, you can listen for a few hours.
Yeah,
with
cool.
No repeats.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Greg. It's been fun getting to know about your music and talk to you again. We talked a couple years ago for the Reverb Nation feature, and so it's good to have you guys back in the magazine again, and I wish you well with the new record.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.